Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, as I was sharing, this is the story of our Savior. And so, as we were sharing, this birth is not just, you know, I would ask, what does it mean to you? That's the first thing we have to ask. What does his birth mean to me or to you? This birth, his birth, should mean more than just his birth, but it's a victory. It's an ultimate victory for us. Because that birth, well, there was a purpose in the scripture, and it wasn't just his birth, but his birth, then his life and ministry to the cross, and then what? His death, and not just his death, but then his resurrection. So the purpose of Christ, there was a purpose in his birth. And so as we were sharing, some want to keep him in the mangers, in the manger. But this story, and again, he was born more than 2,000 years ago, but in the town of Bethlehem. But it really begins in the book of Genesis. And that's where the story really begins. And that after Adam was created, he placed him in the Garden of Eden, where he walked and talked with God every day. Wouldn't that be, that's what we have now. And Adam had that. He was sinless. And so Adam sinned, but Eve was deceived. And so because of that, there needed to be, right? There needed to be a Savior. They became separated because of sin. And so if you turn to John 1:1, there was a Savior that needed to come into the mix of this, where man was separated from God because of sin. And so this is where the purpose begins here. In the beginning, as John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there needed to be the Word that became flesh. So this incarnation, as the dictionary describes it, the incarnation is the union of divinity with humanity, and it was in Jesus Christ. He was the incarnate one. And so this incarnation was the only solution and hope for mankind to do what? To be eternally united or reunited with God. That was the only hope. And any religion that denies the incarnation of God, the incarnation of Jesus of Nazareth, is false. Any religion that denies that incarnation, because that's the merger, if you would say, as Pastor Clinton used to call it, the merger of God and man. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and look at verse 10 and 11. This wonderful story here. And it says, and the angel, I'm reading from the King James Version, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what?
Savior.
Hallelujah. Which is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior, the only Savior. Matthew chapter 1, just looking at Scripture, to support this about our Savior Jesus. Verse 21 and 22, talking about Mary. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people from what? Their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. He merged with a body, which is what is borne out in Hebrews. We're looking at Scripture now. If you ever, anybody ever has a question, you bring them right to the Scripture. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. I'll give you a second to turn there. Hebrews 10 and verse 5. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I believe God merging with a man. Well, a body. Here it is here. Wherefore, when he cometh where? Into the world. He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a what? A body hast thou prepared me. Hallelujah. So there was a body prepared for this immaculate conception. Hallelujah. God coming into a body. Sinless. Galatians chapter 4. Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Who sent him forth? God did. Made of a what? A woman. Made under the law to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Hallelujah. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're heirs of God because of this baby that was born. Hallelujah. So the incarnation of deity with humanity provided one who could stand as man's mediator. He was the mediator between God and man. So he was equal with God on one hand and united with man on the other. This one could assume the obligations of man's treason and satisfy the claims of justice. Thereby bridging them the chasm between God and man. 1 Timothy 2, I just read that, for there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, not many mediators, not many ways, there's one way. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So the object of the incarnation was that a man might be given the right to become a child of God. That's what this objective was. To redeem mankind and give him the right to become a child of God. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, and my margin says the right or the privilege, to become the sons of God, even them that do what? Believe on his name. You've got to believe on his name in order to have the privilege or the right to become a child of God. Hallelujah. So when Christ became a man, he took on a physical body in the incarnation. He did that for eternity. That was done for eternity. So there is a God-man right now in heaven at the Father's right hand as a result of this incarnation. Isn't that wonderful news? That's good news. So God can dwell in these human bodies of ours, and God can impart his life and nature to our spirits. He can impart that. So man can become a child of God only by receiving the nature of God. That's how we become a child of God. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. So when we receive the new birth, spiritual death is eradicated from our spirit. And God gives us his life, his eternal life. 1 John 5 and verses 10 and 11, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness. Actually, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation instead of the King James. It says, all who believe, this is 1 John 5:10, all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Hallelujah. This eternal life is in his Son. So his identification with the spiritual nature and of fallen man actually didn't happen until his crucifixion. And of course we know this, that he didn't identify with fallen man prior to that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been sinless. He became sin. And actually, if you look at Romans, I believe it's the 8th chapter, it says that he became like a sinful man. But he wasn't sinful until he took on the sins of mankind at the crucifixion and went to hell. So we can see here that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we're familiar with this. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, he didn't know sin until the crucifixion. And then God placed the sins of mankind upon him. That what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. And Galatians 2:20, another familiar scripture verse. I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and did what? He gave himself for me. So this baby grew in stature and wisdom. And he followed the plan of God to do what? Redeem mankind from their sins. which is what John 3:16 says. Let's turn over there for a minute. For God did what? He so loved who? The world, that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to do what? Condemn. But the world through him might be what? Saved. So that was the purpose, that God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And Romans says, and for sin. So this baby that we look at this time, to me, I see it as not just the baby in the manger. Whenever we have Christmas, I look at it as my eternal salvation came. Hallelujah. And I rejoice. He's no longer in the manger. Where is he? He's seated in the heavenlies by the Father, the right hand of the Father. And I'm telling you, and I'm seated there with him. Hallelujah. Because of him. Because of what he did. And this says here that I am crucified. But I believe, where is it over in Ephesians? Let's turn over there for a minute. Because of this death and this burial and this resurrection, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, for who? Me, you, the world, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and did what? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm seated there right now. Hallelujah. That's what I was saying Wednesday. Sometimes people, where in the scripture it talks about, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we're in two different realms at the same time. We're in this natural realm, but we're also in the Spirit. And sometimes people have this idea, yes, you can see, God may allow you to see into the Spirit realm, but you're in that realm right now. Hallelujah. There's two of these realms. You're in that realm right now. And we don't have to be spooky to get there. You're in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the four Gospels contain the story of Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, what he did, what he said, and finally his death. But it wasn't, let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. It wasn't his birth that saved us. It was his death, and not just his death, but it was also that he was raised from the dead. You can't just believe, you can't be saved just believing that Jesus died. That's what the scripture says. Go to Romans chapter 10. Be saved by just believing that he died. Or you could say, you can't go the other way. You could say, you can't be saved just by believing he was born. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God sent his Son? No. God made him sin for us? No. It says that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you've got to believe that God sent his Son, yes, but you've got to believe that he was raised from the dead. Because if you read some of the scriptures It talks about, let me get this particular scripture here. We'll go over to first, I'll get that in a minute, but go over to 1 John 3:8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Here's the purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. He destroyed him. He holds the keys of hell and death. Hallelujah. And he came that we might have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. So when we believe that he's been raised from the dead, and we confess that with our mouth, it says you shall be saved. So when that happens, what does Colossians say? Colossians chapter 1, that when we become saved, it says what? We're delivered. He delivers us from the power of darkness. That means he's already got the power over him. And this says here, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So this reason, this purpose was to come to save mankind and to become the mediator, the way that we can get back to a relationship with God, actually receive eternal life. And so the reason that he became a babe in Bethlehem was for you and me, and he made a way for us not only to commune once again with God, but also to give us victory where we can experience victory over every life circumstance. So he gives us the power to do what? He keeps us. It says, thanks, 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this story is not just about a stable, a baby in a manger, shepherds and a wise man. It's about the power of God. When you think about this, the faith, this is why I like these stories, because you can look at faith. Mary had to believe in faith to receive the power of God and the word of God to come into her. She had to, by faith, she had to say, yes, Lord, be it unto me. And so by faith, what caused the power of God to conceive this holy thing in her? It was her faith. She could have rejected it, but she didn't, and God knew that she wouldn't. And so the same way, he has made a way for us to receive the power of God, that same power that conceived Christ in her womb, is the same power that's available to us today to change us internally, to receive eternal life, to eradicate the sin nature in our spirits. And it has to be done by what? Faith. We have to receive the power of God by faith. Hallelujah. So this faith that is available to us, and he is Emmanuel, called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's Matthew 1 and verse 23. Hallelujah. So let's look at these. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Familiar scripture. And it says in the King James, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph," how? "In Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Hallelujah. I like the New King James. It says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Romans 8, let's go over and look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I was going to look at verse 37, but let's back up to 35. Romans chapter 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who that loved us." And I'm going to continue. "For I am persuaded," this is faith talking, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." He was in the incarnate one. He was the one that did what? He revealed the love of God. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say in the book of John? "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So if we want to know what the love of the Father is, we look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if they want to know the love of God today, who do they look at? Us. Amen. Because we have the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4, this is 1 John chapter 5. Actually, I was going to start in verse 4, but let's look at verse 1 and start there. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is" what? "Born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." That means we love one another. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God." What is the love of God? "That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God does" what? "Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer. How? In and through Christ. How do I overcome? Through faith. Hallelujah. Faith in him. Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now let's look at verse 20 and 21. It says, but while he thought, this is Joseph, I'm talking about Joseph here, but while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is what? Of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is the love of God here. Love sent his son to do what? To save. And John chapter 3, and we'll read it again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn or punish the world or bring judgment upon them, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. So this Christmas story is the ultimate story because it frees us from bondage and it enables us to live as overcomers. Victory is possible for us only because of the day Jesus was born. What do I mean by that? If he hadn't come, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have taken our sins. So I see it as the ultimate victory. God sent his only begotten son to this earth. And I'll tell you, every time I think about this story, I think about who lives in me. This isn't just a story. I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living in me. Everywhere I go, he goes with me. Everywhere I go, I've got him living in me, leading me and guiding me, the power of God. That same power that spoke these worlds into existence lives in me. The same spirit, what does Romans say? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who's in me, quickens my mortal body by his spirit that dwells in me. So this story is exciting to me. It displays the love of God. It displays how he loves mankind so much that when man messed up, he had a plan in place. Actually, before we messed up, because the scripture said he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before we messed up, he had a plan in place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How much more can we entrust our lives to him? How much more can we just yield to him in our daily life and trust him, trust not only him, but the power of God to work in our lives. I'll tell you, it's becoming more and more real to me. And you know, Brother Hagin used to say this, and anybody who grows in God, you get to the place where, of course, the scripture says we see in a glass darkly. We don't see things clearly, but as we grow, as we mature, as we grow in grace and we grow in faith, we begin to see things differently. And we begin to have more revelation. What happens? The Spirit of God begins to reveal and unfold. You begin to see clearer. Isn't that what the scripture says? We begin to pray the Ephesians prayer, which says that I pray that the Spirit of God, that God, you would give me a spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, what? The eyes, my spirit, the eyes of my understanding enlightened so that I know what? The hope of his calling and what? What are the riches of this glory that's in us? Oh, that's him. Glory to God. You know, if you don't get enlightened, you don't know, you don't see clearly this glory that's in you. And you walk through life just going, well, I'm just making it. No, you've got glory. You've got him. You've got the glory of God residing in you. I can do all things through Christ. Why? I've got his glory. I've got his power. I've got his nature. I've got his eternal life. And I am a victor in Christ. Hallelujah. No more sad days. Glad days. Victory days. Hallelujah. What does the scripture say? The strong spirit of a man will sustain him. But a weak and broken spirit, who can what? Who can bear? But I can walk through life when my spirit is strong and I see and I know who's in me. Then I don't have a defeatist mentality. I don't have a weak spirit. I can walk through trouble in life. I can walk through issues in life. Why? Because I know who's in me. And I'm a victor in Christ. I know the devil's defeated. I know I'm not under his power. I know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when I think about this story, I don't think about this little babe that came. I think about this baby that grew up and obeyed the Father, and he revealed who the Father was that loved me. And then when he took my sins and went to the cross and took my sins, went to hell, it says in some of the scriptures, it says he was raised when we were justified. Hallelujah. He knew no sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I go through life, my mentality, my thinking is the greater one lives in me. God lives in me. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean thoughts of defeat may not come to your mind. But I'm not led by my mind. I'm led by my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. And we have a great God that loves us, came here to die for us, sent his son who died for us. He merged, deity merged with mankind, with a body. Hallelujah. So he could do what? Identify with this fallen man. But we're not fallen anymore. Hallelujah. We've received his nature and his life, and we've been washed in the blood and redeemed from our sins. We have a new nature. We have his nature. We have the love nature in us, and we are overcomers Whosoever believeth in him overcometh the world. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. When these things, these truths, dawn on our spirit, what do I mean by that? You know, the scriptures can be continually dawning on our hearts, meaning ever-increasing light and revelation on our heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see things, how many see things differently than you saw them 10, 15, 20 years ago? I do. Why? Because we're growing in Christ, and these truths are being revealed and expanded in our hearts, so that when we come up against issues and things in our life, we can walk through them confidently because I've got the greater one in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm redeemed. I honestly believe this, that there is coming a generation. We may be that generation, or it may be a younger generation, but I believe there's a generation coming that will not fear anything. No fear, no fear. Because they will know who they are. Hallelujah. I believe this. And as we meditate and let these scriptures meditate on our heart, it will, so what does it say? Perfect love casts out what? All fear. Casts out fear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray and let's join our hearts today. Father, we thank you for the word of God and the perfecting of it as we do it and as we obey your commandments. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we thank you that we've been, because of this child that came to this earth and became like us, divinity in a human body. We thank you that he came, identified with mankind. He took our sins and the sins of mankind and took them to hell, and he became sin. And when justice was paid for, he was raised from the dead. We were raised from the dead and raised up on high to be seated with him at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what a glorious day. And we thank you, Father, that we're no longer under the control of Satan. And we've been delivered out of his power and from his kingdom. And we've been translated into your kingdom, the kingdom of your dear Son. And we love you and we adore you and we thank you and give you honor and glory this day as we commemorate this birth, this ultimate victory. And we thank you for this gift of a Savior. Thank you, Lord. We're eternally grateful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.